So, when I have, for the last few years, said, create an image, listen with your eyes, create an image of everything that you hear, what to anybody does that mean? I'm creating a blank image here. I didn't hear anything.
To me, it means that I draw a picture.
Yeah, a picture of what? How do you know what to draw?
From what I hear.
You asking me?
No, that's a statement.
Okay. The problem is that most of you don't do that. For instance, so I'm going to give you a couple of little clues here. If I'm not talking about you, why do you create an image or a picture that includes you? If I'm talking and you create an image about some experience you've had, isn't that then an image about you, not about anything I'm saying? Like I've said before, even if you create an illustration in that regard, you've lost control of the conversation simply because you don't know what experiences the other person has had. So if I were to give you an example of what I am saying, I've lost you. I have no idea where your mind went to, because you're going to have attitudes, beliefs, and emotions and thoughts about whatever my example might be about. And so you're not thinking about what I'm thinking about. You're thinking about what you've experienced before. The question, and I even gave you, when we were talking about dreams way back in the ancient days, and we talked about Marin's dream, I even gave you an abstract picture of what Marin's statement was all about. So you can create images, abstract images of abstract concepts. But if I'm not talking about you and you include yourself visually or emotionally or whateverly into the dream, into the image, then you're not listening to me, you're listening to yourself. So, with that in mind, and that's important because as we get into understanding your eternal self, do you want to understand your eternal self, or do you want to understand, or do you want to understand what you personally already believe, feel, think, and piss and moan about?
How can I differentiate that?
How can you differentiate what?
Me, regarding me or listening to eternal self.
Because if in suscitation you're dealing with your eternal self, that's your eternal self, not you.
Uh-huh.
Now, and eventually we're going to bring it all back to you. Don't disagree with that. But you're not paying attention to what the eternal self may or may not be saying or trying to get across. You're only paying attention to what you already believe and want to say or want to continue believing. Well, here's the next thing. Stop trying to learn from your problems. For your problems have nothing to say to you. Especially not about yourself and life. Everybody okay with that? Not really, but...
Don't they really...
What?
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I was just thinking about that the other day. It seems like in prior conversations before, I've heard you say to people that you don't even want to deal with or hear about their problems. You would far rather talk about, you know, who they are and how they want to, you know, how they want to live their life and not deal with the problems.
Yeah, but now I'm saying for you not to even deal or try to learn from your problems.
You can deal. Right, I'm sorry, that's my point. Because what I was thinking of it is because I tend to kind of think about my problems and think about my problems thinking that somehow I can resolve them. And it was occurring to me that maybe there is no resolution inside that problem thinking.
Well, let's go back to what I said. I said, stop trying to learn from your problems. I didn't say anything about dealing with your problems, resolving your problems, healing your problems, anything of that nature. I said, stop trying to learn, and the unexpressed word is learn about yourself from your problems, because they have nothing to say to you.
Okay, right.
Right? What does right mean?
I
question your right when you say that, simply because we have all lived from the get-go that your problems have something to talk to you about what you're doing, and maybe you're doing something wrong, or maybe something is going on, and if you don't pay attention to your problems, you won't understand yourself in life. Now, one step before suscitation or attempting to understand your eternal self and experience that, I am now saying, stop trying to learn from your problems.
Okay, I do have a question about that then. No. There are certain things it seems that if I get a result or an event occurs in my life and it's not something I would be willing to be and have forever and ever. It seems like that sometimes I think to myself, I really ought to stop and think about what I did that I might want to change or something like that. Are you suggesting that not even do that?
Yeah.
Meaning, like, learn, like, did I make a mistake? Did I say this the way I really wanted?
But I mean, the same way as don't learn from, well, gee, what did I do there? Why do you suppose I did that? What's going on? What is that telling me? Etc. From your what I don't understand is,
Chris?
Yeah.
It's Maren. So, are problems saying, quote unquote, anything? Do they have anything to say?
Well, maybe yes and maybe no, but let's get there. Let's start from you will not. Let's assume your problems have something to say. That might be step two in all this. But if you're busy trying to learn about yourself from your problems, then you will never listen to what your problems have to say. Does that make sense?
So yes. With learning, you mean
what you've done wrong, what you should do, what you should change, how you should live your life,
yes,
better, finer, gooder, wiser, smarter, etc. That's what I mean by learn.
Not revealing about yourself.
What does that mean?
I remember that we looked after certain things that reveal about our beliefs. That could be also a problem, I think.
Oh, not necessarily. Why is a belief a problem?
No. Through the problem comes to the belief.
Who says?
I, in this moment.
Oh, you did. Well, if the problem came through the belief, it had nothing to do with your problem, did it?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, maybe what?
The other way around, it's not possible.
what I'm asking you, Simone, is why are you so habituated? Why are we so habituated to learn from our problems? If you learn from your problems, and if that's your habit, isn't it likely that in order to learn, you'll create more problems so you can learn from your problems?
That's possible, for sure, yes.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like very good conversation.
Okay. Let's do another one.
Well, whenever a problem or difficulty or affliction or illness or whatever occurs in your life, the normal conversation and advice is, or even a pain, by the way, meditate on the problem or consider the problem and ask yourself several questions, such as, what is the meaning and purpose of this problem in my life? What belief or attitude or action caused this to appear? And what am I to learn from this and change in order to move on? That's a very common advice everywhere given in one form or another. And I'm saying, I'm making the declaration that that is foolishness for you to do that. Gee, I wonder if we got Sharon on the phone. We got Sharon on the phone. You want to weighed in on this, Doc?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
We can now. I'm here. I don't know if I want to wade into this.
Okay. Don't wade into it then. That's fine.
No, I said I don't know that I want to wade into it.
That's what I said, so don't wade into it.
But I'm enjoying listening.
Okay. Just don't get upset, because then you'd probably have to consider, why am I upset?
No, I see that, you know, it does keep us stuck in the problems, and we're not really looking at it, and we're trying to do something to make a change where we're not supposed to be doing anything. We're supposed to be recognizing or be who we really are.
Well, let's even then look at this from an entirely different example or way than anything we have talked about so far. Here's the first question. Are you willing to assume that all of life is alive?
A-L-I-V-E or
alive? Alive, A-L-I-V-E. Alive and well. Anybody?
I guess
If you're willing to consider that everything in life, and I mean that everything that is alive, or could be alive, or whatever, that it is alive, would you be willing to personify or give human qualities to everything in your life? Ancient times they did that. Would you be willing today to give human attributes or qualities or a nature or human nature or personify everything in your life, rocks, trees, animals, sky, water, whatever, personify everything in your life? Do you think that somehow or other might bring the world around you even more alive? Anybody can deal with that if you want to.
Yeah, I think it could. Yeah, I'll say yes.
Could you bring a problem? Could you personify a problem?
You mean as a torturous demon or something? Yeah.
Or something. I didn't. It doesn't. Yeah. A problem doesn't have to be a negative, torturous demon in that regard. I merely said, are you willing to give human attributes to a problem? Would you be willing to give human attributes to a pain or an affliction or even a problem like your car doesn't work?
I'm not certainly not opposed to it. Just wondering, why would I do that?
Well, I'm trying to say,
interesting proposal.
Maybe if you did that, it would make the environment in which you live more alive than you ever thought of before, rather than you passing through an essentially dead universe, except when the wind blows and the rain falls and etc. Except when something happens, then you would have a more, you'd be living in a more involved and evolved and an alive universe.
Well, it's interesting because when I stop and think about it, I think the only reason I normally or would have perceived that I live in a universe where it's not alive is because I kind of told myself I depersonified it anyway. I just told myself that version of events.
Yeah, but I'm now asking you...
So now I think it would work. What I'm saying is, of course, it would work perfectly well to personify it.
Okay, because among other things, then you could personify it the way you wanted to, could you not?
Which is something I haven't ever really tried, yeah. I maybe at best of this, I tried to perceive the persona in the things, like, as it is, as they were.
So, what you did is, what you did then is, if you didn't like it, you made it a negative, bad thing.
Probably, yeah.
And I'm not saying to do that, necessarily. I'm merely saying we just give it human qualities, but it doesn't necessarily have to be good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. If you are willing to give or personify your pains and problems in that way, then instead of when you have a problem, instead of asking, what is the meaning and purpose of this problem in my life? Because in that, the problem is non-personal. It's just an event or a curse in your life, and you're focused on you in that regard. Or instead of asking what belief or attitude or action caused this to appear, you're, in a sense, blaming yourself or as the causer of the action that you brought it to yourself. And what am I to learn from this? You're just saying, well, it happened to me, and therefore it must be something I've done wrong. And so therefore, you're keeping your focus and everything on yourself. Is it possible that by personifying everything in your life, that you could personify a problem and not even necessarily personify it as a bad? Could you just say, this is a human thing in my life, or it is a being that is human or conscious or sentient in your life? Could you go that far?
Of course.
I have a question, Roger.
Yeah.
So if I'm saying that it's a human thing or a sentient being in my life, is that not also giving it the qualities of placing itself in my life?
Well, maybe it does. What's wrong with that? Maybe
it... So how is that...
Wait a minute. Maybe it's placing itself in your life is better than you blaming yourself for doing it.
So how is that different been things being done unto me, though. That's where I'm stuck.
Okay. Are you willing to allow for the moment as we go along that it is done unto you, but not in the way, in the manner in which you think it is done unto you? You allow that?
Is it me doing unto me?
No, it's a personified thing, so it's doing it.
So it's just doing it, and I happen to be in its path.
If you and your boyfriend kiss, hasn't he done unto you? And does that have to be bad? Does being done unto you have to be bad?
Okay.
You with me so far?
Yes.
What if your boyfriend does kiss you? What do you think that indicates? He's personified, he kisses you, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That he likes me.
He likes you? He
I
wants...
I think that I'm tasty. I don't know.
Well, okay, yeah. He's probably licking the chocolate syrup off your face. He likes you, or he wants something from you?
Ah.
I'm just asking that as a question. Is that all bad?
Sorry, is that all?
Huh?
It broke up when you said that. I heard, is it all...
I said, is that all bad?
Oh, gosh, no.
Well, wait a minute now. Just a minute ago, you said in a very negative sort of way, well, isn't that being done unto?
And that was describing an event as an individual with...
So, all done unto you is not bad, is it?
Correct.
And done unto you, all done unto you, does not make you a victim, does it?
A victim.
A what?
Not even a willing victim.
No, we take the... Why a victim at all?
Yeah, no, I said not even a willing victim.
Oh, not even a willing victim. That's right. Victim is not a part of it. So,
right.
Wait a minute. Now all of a sudden we've come up to the fact that being done unto you is not in and of itself bad at all.
Correct.
Oh. So, let's proceed a little bit. Now we have a problem. Let's call it a difficulty, obstacle, or affliction, or even just a little ordinary difficulty. The car won't start, or the car broke down, or you can't make the payment in that regard. Appears in your life is done unto you, and that's not all bad. So, instead of asking the questions is that we said before, what are you to learn? What is the meaning of this in your life? Are you willing to ask the problem? And by asking the problem, you remember you've personified it, so the problem can speak to you. Ask the problem several questions, such as, what is the purpose of my being in your life? Does anybody understand that?
My being in your life?
Yeah. We've personified the illness or the problem. So, it's a personified. Now I can be in the problem's life. Instead of my asking the question, what is the meaning and purpose of the illness in my life? Can I not ask the illness, what to you is the meaning and purpose of my being in your life?
Same with the broken down car or the overdue bill.
That's right. What is the purpose of my being in your life, Mr. Broken Car? Does Are we making any sense here?
Wouldn't it be a little bit easier, like you said a minute ago, with the Marin's boyfriend kissing her, and you suggested that they would, you suggested maybe he wants something. Isn't it maybe you could ask the car, what do you want from me?
No, because this is true, but you wouldn't want to do that of a boyfriend. You wouldn't want to do of anything, but I'm asking you. Maybe the car doesn't want anything from you. Why start off with a presumption that everything happens to you means that the happener wants something from you? Why don't you give it why stick with that presumption? Why don't you give it a trial and at least give the illness an opportunity to answer what is the meaning of you in its life?
Okay.
Has anybody ever considered this before? What if you've got an illness or a broken leg? What is the purpose of you in the life of the illness, in the life of the broken leg, in the life of the car that just went funky? Why must we always assume that if it's out there and if it's involved, it happens to me, number one, and now it must be teaching me a lesson or showing me something?
Okay, so Roger, I can see what you're saying, and the only response I can currently manufacture is it needs me in order to complete something.
Or maybe the broken car is asking you, the purpose of you, is to fix it. If it's an illness, to heal it. If it's a problem, to repair it. If it's an emotion, to soothe it.
Isn't that cause and effect, though?
So what? Will it allow you cause and effect in your personal life?
Oh God, of course.
I've always said that. What I'm going to take away, I'm going to give back to you when you understand it. What I have to do is I have to, at some time or other, take cause and effect away from you in order so that I started out with emergent and took cause and effect away, and everybody's, oh, it's just emergently caused. So I'm trying everything I can to get this across. So I've taken a cause and effect away from you and say, now what's left? Let's talk about that. All right? Now I'm saying I'll give you cause and effect back in your personal life if that's what the hell you want. But when we get into talking about an eternal self, we'll talk about it from an entirely different perspective. Now all I'm doing is saying, wait a minute. Is it possible that cause and effect works two ways in your life? That instead of you causing the problem has come to you for relief. In that, have I not changed the humor of cause and effect? By putting you on the fact that it is asking something from you. What may it be? And if we're talking about purpose, you're always talking about, what the hell is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to do? And etc. Are you willing to look around? Think about this for a minute. Look around and at all the things that happen to you, ask those things, what is my purpose in your life? And that if you consider what is your purpose in their life in that regard, in answering that question, you very quickly would find out what is your purpose in your life. Anybody understand that? This is just an introduction. I'm not going to go too far tonight with this, but I just wanted you to consider all of some of this stuff from a different perspective, because when you, through suscitation and all of that, let's assume, meet your or experience your eternal self. I want you to get into what is the purpose of my being in your life. And get off of saying to yourself, well, what's the purpose of my eternal self supposed to be in my life? Because you think it's there for guidance and support and guardian angels and superior knowledge and great one. No! Start over again. What is the purpose of you in the life of your eternal self? What if you turned everything in your life around in that way? Could you possibly answer the question, like broken car or whatever it is, what is my purpose in your car, in your life, without you, in answering that question, understand yourself more fully and awarefully?
Yes. Yeah.
So, on the one hand, you could ask, what is this this illness mean in my life? What is all about that? What is it causing? What's going on? But isn't it more to you, when you stop and think about it, more enhancing to ask, what am I, what is my purpose in the illness's life? What is the image then that that creates?
Just before I had the image of having a meeting in this situation.
Wait a minute, wait. Wait, I didn't hear what you said. Just before you had an image of what?
Of having a meeting in the situation.
I didn't hear you. I don't understand what you said.
Oh.
You can repeat it again. I just, you know, it's my crappy ears.
Can you understand me better?
If you speak, I don't know what that one word is. You went over it fast.
Meaning?
Before that.
I had the image that I personally have a meaning in the event.
Okay, I understand. I missed the word personally. I didn't know what that meant.
No.
Okay.
No.
If you have an illness...
instead of being the victim of that event.
Okay, let's assume that. But you're changing in that then your whole relationship to the illness, aren't you?
Absolutely, yes.
And it is in that then that if the illness occurs in your life, you either cause it or you're a victim to the illness.
Yeah.
Under normal circumstances. But if you ask, what is my purpose in your life? What up to an illness? Let's assume for a minute we just say that the illness has come to you for healing. Then all of a sudden you become the healer of the illness in your life instead of the victim.
Yes.
But then you also begin understanding yourself from, let's call this a greater or expansive or bigger or superlative or whatever in each of these instances, yet you're not. You just turn the tables on the whole event and understand yourself and life from a whole different perspective.
Mm-hmm. But I don't have an image now how I can heal the illness, for example.
This is right. Or you can offer something that the illness may be asking of you. So you don't necessarily heal it, but because that's something that the illness is to do, but you can offer the illness something, can you not?
Yes.
And in
maybe some support or yeah.
Okay, but not support for continuation. If it's come to you, it's come for resolution in some form or another. So you can support it in helping to heal it. And if you're helping to heal the illness in that way rather than struggling against it, doesn't that empower you?
Sure.
Doesn't that empower you in any problem?
Yes. Yes.
What if you've got a person in your life that you really don't like, and you keep asking, oh, shit, what did I do to deserve this guy in my life? What have I done wrong now? I guess I deserve this turkey in my life. What if you turn that around and ask yourself, what is it that that person might be asking of me in this life? Could you then get a whole different concept of that person and awareness of that individual in your life?
That.
And even if at this point you can't create a or don't create a an exact image, what I'm trying to do is at least arouse a little bit of a sense of how by just turning the question around and answering it, making it a sentient being, that you have just turned your entire life around in the world in which you live and expanded your awareness of yourself. And that's important because the major question in experiencing your eternal self is, what is your purpose in your eternal self's life?
Roger?
Yes, Alina?
Hello? In making sort of a comparison or at least an image that I'm getting, I want to make sure I'm going in the right direction. It almost sounds like whatever occurs that's a problem, it's like a friend that comes up that has a problem and is asking for your assistance.
No. Oh, then okay, be very. Wait. I don't want you to go there for a reason in that regard, because you're getting yourself the situation too complicated. A friend who has a problem asking you for assistance. I'm saying the premise of this is, as a beginning, you have the problem. Now there is only you and the problem. I don't want you and the person's problem, and that brings up somebody else, etc. Keep it simple for a while. You have a problem, and I want to change your view and image of the relationship between you and that problem owner.
Okay.
Because if you can't get it from the simple image of just you and the problem, you will never understand it from the example of a friend comes up and she's got a problem and I don't know what to do because was she really a friend? See, it's too complicated to do that at this point.
Okay.
It makes a big difference.
It adds in other elements.
Yeah, so we want to keep all of those other elements out of it. As a, like I said, this was just sort of an introduction. I'm trying to get you to sense. And part of the reason for that is that if you personify your eternal self in the way I'm talking about, then you have already created an entirely different relationship between you and your eternal self. I want to get you off the idea of thinking that your eternal self is great and wondrous. Is it possible your eternal self, it needs you? Eternal self is coming to you. Eternal self is seeking you in this illustration. And that for you to say to your eternal self, what is my purpose in your life? And then you answer that question. It changes everything about the way you look at life around you. We okay with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's that's number one to consider. So, the question that we start with, whoever said that a problem in your body or life is a problem within you? And if you ever heard that, that a problem in your body or life, etc., indicates a problem within you, you see, then you get blamed for that. And so why did you ever believe that? Have you ever considered your questioning? Why would you ever believe that a problem in your life indicates a problem in you? Why?
Okay, I got a question for you. If we wouldn't consider that question, would we consider the question of what does this say about how I'm living my life?
Let's assume that, all right.
Assume that we would consider that.
Sure, but the minute you turn it around from it happened to you as a baddie,
right. You
turn it around, let's say you are the healer of the problem, doesn't that indicate you in an entirely different light and concept of your life?
I perceive I have an entirely different role in the situation then.
But what if you did that to everything in your life in that regard? Aren't you then seeing yourself in an entirely different light that you've been living all your life?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes along and says, it's this and therefore you got to fix it. And struggle with it and work against it and be Mr. Good Guy. Who in the hell ever said that and why did you ever believe it? I'm saying maybe the problem came to you for a purpose. And what you're doing then is asking the problem, what is your life? Maybe instead of being the victim, you are the victor.
The victor.
And that the problem is coming to you for help and assistance. Is that so bad?
No, not so bad at all. I mean, that's quite better than thinking it happened to you, for sure.
Wait just a minute now. Is it, what I'm trying to do, Andrew, is to get you out of just thinking one way or another. What am I true? At that point, from what you said, what do you think I am trying to get you to do?
From what I said?
Yes. You said it's better than you said it is better than thinking that it happened to you. What am I trying to do? Do you think I am really only interested in getting you to think a different way?
No, I don't think so.
But you said it's better. It's better than thinking. So what might it be that I'm trying to do?
Change my relationship to my life.
Thank you kindly. And to experience your life in an entirely different way, not just think about it in that regard, but to. It's because if you can think about it, you can live the same old crappy stuff and once in a while think about it. What I'm trying to get you to do is live an entirely different relationship between you and your life and everything around you.
Yep, okay.
Have you ever...
Yeah, I don't know how many things in my life that I've actually... ran across to where I did that or used the tools for doing that. You know?
I don't think you've ever done it. I don't think hardly anybody has ever done that.
Right.
But,
okay.
Wait a minute. Do you remember when I read that story about, who was that guy, Jason and Mattathia? And they had this big argument about, Jason said, hey, Mattathia, why don't you guide and direct God, and Mattathia went through the roof. Isn't Jason saying, guide and direct God the same as what I'm talking about here is guide and direct your illnesses? Doesn't that give you a different relationship to everything in your life?
Yeah. Hey, I have a request, Simone, if that's not sure if it's you, but if it's things clinking it on your side, it's coming through really loud on this side.
Could you go on
mute? My request is, could you go on mute in the
intro? I put my mic back, yeah.
Oh, it's just the other stuff. That's fine. Thanks.
Is it possible that you don't know yourself as a communion being or don't really know yourself because you don't understand why people and problems or even God seek answers from you? And if you were to think about people and problems and situations and even God seeking answers from you, wouldn't that give you a whole different awareness and concept of yourself? What if all of life is really only seeking from you? What might life be seeking from you? Wait just a minute now. Is it possible that in turning this around to where you're living, that life and problems and difficulties are seeking from you, assuming that for the moment, is it possible that in that context you could be content? If in the context that we normally live you are angry, you have trouble about being content. I'm pissed. What if your anger is seeking something from you? Could you be content in answering to the anger itself, or by asking the anger itself, what is my purpose in your life? What if you did that to all the things that began discontenting you in life? If you change the relationship between all those discontenting things in this way, as that you have the advice and guidance that those things are seeking, would that not allow you to truly be content? And would that not allow you to live a far more expansive life and remain content? Those things that are coming to you are seeking advice from you. What are you getting discontent about? Hello, anybody? So, Mattathai and Jason went through that whole argument or disagreement and everything like that. And at the end of that whole conversation, Mattathai said, if you believe you have God, seeing what life is seeking from you will enable you, I'm in the wrong place here. I'm skipping pages here. Went to the wrong place. At the end of the conversation, Mattathias said, ends with these words, "You are standing on shaky ground there, old Mr. Jason, with all of these faithless words, and you will certainly reap as you have sown here today, and you'll regret your foolish words. I'm disappointed in you, my son." And the look on Mattathias' face as he slumps in his chair shows he is sadly disappointed in Jason. Could you face the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or everything that everybody else believes and stand with the awareness and the experience and the living of yourself in turning this around, that every problem, even God, even the universe, asks of you, not something to do, but you are creating a purpose, you are expressing a purpose in God's life. Not that you have to be faithful to God or to everything in your life. Would that not change your whole concept of yourself in relationship to all of life? Or are you afraid of the beginning part that that's not true? And that God will get you. You'll go to hell if you even think of or believe or consider or much less live this concept of yourself. That you're supposed to take on all the responsibility, all the burden, all the right wrong of the life in order to struggle and do what God wants rather than you directing God. You directing your problems. You directing your illnesses. You direct everything in your life. Would that be too much of a struggle for you? Or could it be that regardless how many people or what people hearing about that or considering that might say, because you've then turned around 180 degrees, you've turned around everything that's ever been taught, I think, probably since the history of mankind has been considered. But stop and think about it. I don't care whether you believe me tonight, etc., but think more and more and more about that. Everything in your life that happens, good, bad, or indifferent, I don't care. Ask that. What is your purpose in its life, not what is its purpose in your life? Well, okay, we'll move right along then. Like God, mind is, oh, by the way, if this is true, consider this. Mind is omnipresent in the universe. Does that not seem to indicate that you can use your mind any way you want it? Is it, if the mind is omnipresent in the universe, who has decided how mind then has to be used? Or how you must use mind? Hello, anybody?
I guess, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I never, nobody has done that. But I guess what I did is, maybe I didn't think to myself that I could decide how I wanted to use my mind, so I started looking for what other people might have said.
So
maybe thinking there was a right answer or something, I looked for it.
That's right. And but they told you, say, through language, how it is that you're supposed to use your mind.
I got what I asked for, didn't I?
And you certainly did. And all I've done is say, wait a minute, let's take another look at this. We've been looking at these things as the problems in your life are teaching you lessons. Who said so? What's wrong with the problems in your life are asking for your help and assistance? Doesn't that give you a significantly more desirable image of yourself and life? Maybe you don't have to struggle against the problems. All you got to do is turn them around and ask, wait a minute, that's right. We've always been foisted on to us that when you've got a problem, asking, oh, well, what is the meaning and purpose of this in my life? What did I do to cause all this shit? And what am I going to do to solve it? All you have to do is change the question.
Hmm.
And everything changes.
Yeah. I guess this is... Mm-hmm.
What?
This is a good... it's a good look at how different we can make our lives by simply, you know, changing something like that. But I gotta tell you that I never, ever, ever thought about that, something like that.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But now all of a sudden, in that you, in answering that question, what is my purpose in your life? In your giving the answer to that question, empower. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Let's stop with this. If we ask the first set of a question, and you ask the question, gosh, what is the meaning and the purpose of this in my life? And you give yourself an answer, wait a minute. You still don't know what to do. Now, I know what its purpose is in my life, and I'm screwed because I still don't know what to do. But if you turn the question around itself, what might be my purpose in your life, Mr. Problem? Then, in giving yourself that answer, you know what to do. Have I lost everybody? Or has everybody gone to sleep?
No, I didn't lose me. I mean, you know, Dennis Reddy comes seeking for whatever I've got, and I know what I've got.
You see?
To offer.
That's right. As soon as you give that answer, you know what you have to offer. Offer it.
Yes. So I can kind of like manifest my declared self or something.
You see how quick that is? Because what in every time you... Wait a minute. That means then that every time you do that, and every time you answer or ask and answer that question, you are in fact manifesting your eternal self in your life. Reasonable?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Because all of a sudden, you are the healer, not the victim. All of a sudden, you are confronted with, man, I got something here to offer that I never realized before. That's a hell of a lot better to say, what the hell do I do now? That's a heck of a finer way to live all the time in your life. And where it comes from is that, like God, mind is omnipresent in the universe, which means you can use it any way you want. You don't have to follow how everybody has said, well, this is the way you do it. However, there's one significant difference between God being omnipresent in the universe and mind being omnipresent in the universe. Does anybody have any concept what the difference might be between God and mind in the universe?
Well, I think that God is normally conceived of as an active, intentioning presence, and mind is a quiescent presence.
Aha!
It waits. It's just waiting for us to reach out and set the new direction that we want, or, you know, whatever. Set the, what do you call it, tone of that, or many ways to describe it.
So, what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, is that mind is quiescent for you to use and asks
right.
nothing of you.
Asks nothing of you?
Yes.
Nope. I don't even think it intends for anything from...
But God does.
You. That's right. Yeah.
Why would you even start off even considering that? God does. Intentional. Hurricanes do. Illnesses do. Broken cars do.
Sure. Book of Job, God had a whole intention to wager with the devil.
Oh, yeah. Golly, the whole Old Testament.
And then, the Book of Job.
And even then, when we turn it around and J.C. goes from... the God of judgment to the God of love, you're still back in to the God you believe exists is ask, if you want love, ask something of you. Even though they say, oh, this is unconditional, it doesn't ask anything of you. That's not true. You okay with this so far?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
All right. then we're going to rush right along. Since you think, in other words, you're using mind, mind is omnipresent in the universe, since you think, but don't know how you think thoughts move through you. Here's a thought, there's another thought, oh wow, just pass another one through it. Since you don't know how you think they move through you. But that's not so. You move mind through you in little quantum packets called thoughts.
Called what?
Called thoughts. Quantum packets of mind are called thoughts.
So, Raj, I move those things through me, but if you ask me how I do it, I have no idea where to tell you.
I know, but all I did is...
Use the phrase, it comes to me, right? Oh, it just came to me that...
Yeah, but it didn't.
Or whatever.
Wait just a minute now. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Let me think a minute. Could we say that maybe the thought is asking something of you? When you have a thought, what is my purpose in your life, Mr. Thought?
Mm-hmm.
Would that not change even your relationship entirely between you and your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Is it possible that if you feel confused in the world, feel confused in the world as it is it at all possible for you to consider that your brain not only perceives the world around you through your senses, but also calls that world to perception and makes it reveal itself to you as you have chosen? Or at least as you are willing to perceive it. I had a buzzer. Are we still on?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, me too. Can you repeat that again, please?
If you feel confused in the world, as it is all around you, or as it is when you were in England, is it at all possible for you to consider that your brain not only perceive, and you're running this brain, but then that's the engine you got going here, that your brain not only perceives the world around you through your senses, but also calls that world to perception and makes it reveal itself to you as you have chosen? If you can say, wait a minute, I think I understand that. So, I am perceiving only as I have chosen, and I am perceiving illness as a problem because that's what I've been told, so that's what I've chosen. Is it possible that if you listen to what I've tried to say for the last 45 minutes or so, that if you perceive you and everything in your universe from a different way, then that's how it will be? And therefore, then what we're saying is this, that mind is the source of all things, and your mind is the source of all things you experience. The problem is, you set it up in your mind, or minding, in such a way that you have been told how to mind, rather than minding the way you want it. Would you rather have problems be in your life showing you what the fuck you're doing wrong? Or would you rather have problems and difficulties in your life seeking from you so that you could ask the problem, what is it that you truly desire from me? Which fundamental basic aspect or source of yourself in life would you choose?
Number two.
Well, it seems to me that if you want your life to change, you must change your mind. Wait a minute. 2 weeks ago, I asked you if you wanted something to do, what must you do? And the first thing we said is you must reconceptualize your mind and the universe around you. Does this not begin to reconceptualize yourself and the world around you? Simple as that.
Yes.
What if all of your struggles have been in the nature of a problem comes to you to show you what to do so you could learn lessons, so you can understand what you're doing wrong, so you could learn to do it right? Is not so. That a problem and difficulty comes to you asking for help. It asks you for guidance. Would that not change every aspect of yourself in life?
Yes.
Well, isn't that interesting? You know, there's a lot of people have spent a lot of time and a lot of money, and a lot of people have made a lot of money with living in the now concept. This is another one of those exercises, by the way. Are you willing to conceive of that living in the now deceives you? Anybody want to deal with that?
Well, I'd like it dealt with, but I don't know how to deal with that. Living in the now deceives you?
Yes.
Because there is no now?
But you're asking me?
Yeah, I think there is the past and nothing else.
There what? Simone, you can say, well, I don't know, there is no now, it's all past. And now turn around and you feel yourself living in the now. There's just words, they're just concepts, they're meaningless things, which is like what I've been trying to do in all of this, like earlier this evening, is to say, not for you to think differently about this and then go about your usual business. That ain't going to work. You're going to have to begin to reconceptualize these things in your life, and you have the mind to do that. And wait a minute. Let's see, all our life we've been told that you could not conceive of God. Your little human mind could not even possibly conceive of God. And now, in 1 hour and 8 minutes out of that, 1 hour and 8 minutes, no doubt, what I've said is, are you willing to use your pseudo-puny little mind to guide and direct God? That's all I've asked of you. To not only conceive of God, but to direct God, which, by the way, is the subtitle of tonight. Okay, back to now. Living in the now deceives you. There is no now. You don't believe that, do you? Because you live right now, and a minute ago was yesterday, was before, that's in the past, and pretty soon it's going to be 7:20, and that'll be off in the future. So all I'm doing is giving you a lot of crap. Well, maybe so, maybe not. Let's see. Because it has for centuries been proclaimed by these great spiritual masters that the here and now is the only place your divinity and your eternal awareness reside. They said, look, the future hasn't arrived yet, and the past is gone. Too bad, you missed it. It was here yesterday, but you missed it today. So, you only live in the here and the now. Anybody want to... I'll be this grand spiritual master that says that. Anybody want to take me apart at that? I guess not.
Roger?
Yes, yes!
Okay, it almost... The image I'm getting is that we're creating this illusion...
Wait just a minute now. Let me start just... Important. Never say to me the image you are getting. I want to know the image you're creating.
Okay, the image I'm creating... Whoa, very depth, actually, more accurate. The image I'm creating is of somebody creating an illusion in their mind of what they view as now. The problem is they've got to sustain this image because time's always changing, and when they started creating the image is already in the past. And so actually you're sort of battling you've got a battle going in with yourself to sustain that.
Well, the problem is what they did is they falsely eliminated the past and the future and said there's what's left, the now. But the now is ever changing. There is no now.
That's right.
So then people come up and say, oh well, that means there is no time.
Well, time is in the past.
What?
Time is in the past. We always see time from the past.
Okay, let me give you one other concept about time in the past and see if you can understand this.
Okay.
Do you understand that the past is the only immortal thing in the universe?
That makes sense. Because it's like, just take any star. We actually are viewing its past.
No, don't go there. The star is... if the star ceases to exist, the star's past is still immortal.
Yeah.
So, the past, your immortality is in the past. Everything you truly desire, in a sense, is past. Why would you ever take yourself out of the past to live in the... in the now, which doesn't exist, or the future that ain't got here yet, whereas the past is completely immortal. You want to be an immortal being? Live in the past. You want to commit suicide? Live in the now. You don't want to live at all? Live in the future. All I'm trying to do is to give you a couple little things in your life to reconceptualize in a way that then, wait a minute, from all of that, maybe we can take ourselves out of the dilemma that we've been stuck in for centuries. It's like I said last week, when I said, gee, if you run your ancestors backward in this regard, your mother and father and mother and father of mother and father and mother and father of grandfathers and mother, there's a whole archive of you in the past. Great one. What?
A whole what?
Archive. Like a library, an archive, a collection of wondrous things in the past. There's nothing in the present. There is nothing in the future. The whole archive lives in the past. And the reason I'm saying this, because what I want you to do is to begin seeing your eternal self as in and of the past. Years ago, I said, when we were talking about your declared self, I said, get a picture of that, but get an image of that self in the past. That the image that I had was like the Jason and Mattathiah, was of the Parthenon and in Greece. It's all past, because once I put the self there in that regard, I have an image of it already being, which is truth, and an image of great awareness, which is also true. Whereas if you put it into the future, it has no existence yet. And you might say, well, it has all this potential. I've been trying to get rid of potential for a long time. Don't live potential. Live like tonight. Gee whiz. This isn't potential that someday maybe you can look at these things as to what is your illness telling you. Instead of looking at what your illness is telling you, you can live today, right now, in knowing what your purpose is in the life of that illness. You can turn that around right now. Therefore, these great spiritual masters, only following the pattern of language, have defeated themselves in saying that you live in the now, or here in the present, in all of this. It's not true. You are always living in the past. And important about that is, be willing to always live in the past, because there you are immortal, because only the past is immortal. If you don't believe that, before next Monday, write me and tell me anything that you could conceive of other than past that is immortal. And then begin to take a look at immortality, God, all these things that we long for. You want immortality in the future, look at it and experience immortality in the past, which allows you then to say, well, gee, I guess if my immortality, and I've experienced that in the past, is in the past, then I guess that says I'll be immortal off into the future. But that doesn't matter, because I can know my immortality in the past. Can you understand, if that's the case, which it is, by the way, the present is never realized. The minute you begin to think it's realized, it's gone.
It becomes part of the past.
It becomes part of the past. It is the path. So therefore, if you live in the moment, you live unrealized. For the moment, well, gee, it's gone. And the future hadn't gotten here yet. Well, certainly you guys understand that at death, you do not pass on into a future life. You pass on into a past life. You can't then know or understand anything about your future life, but through this understanding, you can understand everything about your past life. I can see everybody is sort of just, what in the world is he talking about? Are we there?
Yes.
Yeah, why a past, why, I didn't catch that whole thing you just said. When you die, you pass into a past life?
Yes.
Andrew? I guess I don't, are you talking about the eternal being or the personal being?
Yeah.
How does the eternal being, ever changing, recurring,
referring,
actually, move into a past life.
If you forever are creating your eternal self, then in creating that eternal self, it is living its past, is it not?
Yes.
to think about that.
Okay.
If I'm forever creating my eternal self, it's living this path. Okay. All right, I think so. I'm giving it life, and that life is in the past.
So isn't that right? It has no life in the present, it has no life in the future. You give it life in the past.
Alright.
So therefore, the future life of your eternal, of you and your eternal self, is in the past. Just try for a moment to consider some of these things, which is merely turning things around. What you've done to date in all of these things is you say, okay, well, that sounds good. I'll think about that. I'll consider it later. And then you walk away and you don't think about it beyond a certain point, and you continue living things just as they already were, and nothing changes. You still believe past, present, and future. The rest of it is words. It's no meaning to you. So what I'm trying to do is to get you to, are you willing to then look at your problems not as what do they mean to you, but what is your purpose in their life? If you can get the feel and the sense of that, and are willing to then not think of it merely as a thought or a concept, but think about it as, man, that would be one hell of an experience for me to live that, and maybe it would be something you would really want to live, then all these other concepts are simple. Wait a minute. If your eternal self, or even you, live after death in a past life, could that past life not be the life you are living today, preparing for that to be?
Say that again, Roger.
If you're willing to consider that at death, you, forget how or whatever, just that you and your eternal self live in a past life, could it not be that the past life that it lives in is the life you are creating for it today?
Yeah, I actually considered quite often since starting in with the past life stuff that, yeah, what I'm living today is actually, what, forever, meaning a con. I am this part of the universe, like forever. How I live is storing that somehow for everybody, anybody, for the universe. I don't know if that I'm not describing this well, but I haven't tried either. So what you're saying makes some sense. Meaning, like, if I just think it's going to get better someday, so I just kind of shuffle through life, it's not. And what I'm actually creating is a forever life of exactly what I'm living right now.
Which is hope that it might get better.
Andrew, what?
The hope.
No, like I could.
You're living the hope that it might get better.
Yeah, but then basically, if any future life, person comes seeking the knowledge, the great and the grand knowledge of the universe, they come looking here, they're just going to see that, well, there was just this thing, a life of, there's no greater knowledge here. There's no, knowing about how to live a great life. There's no heaven here. It's just sort of somebody waiting. That'll be my story.
Wait just a minute now. Is it possible that there is no such thing as greater knowledge?
Yeah, of course.
I used to have one of those phones, that's high up on the wall, and you had to step up on a box to talk in it, and you turn the crank, and it cranked at the central station, and the gal operator said something. I used to have one of those.
Right.
Is your cell phone so much better?
In fact, it's different.
That's all.
For technology, yeah.
It's still a telephone. It's different.
Right. The question is, I guess I ask myself, is this the, what, the life, the belief, the perception, the feeling, the experience that I would want to have forever if I just stopped in time right now? In the past, forever, immortal.
But that, all right, let's assume that's the case. Is it possible that if you stopped right now and merely turned the problems and difficulties around such that they, that you serve a purpose in their life,
mm-hmm.
if you did that, would that be, and in that you could be content, would that be a life mm-hmm. that you might more willingly live eternally?
Yeah.
So that if you did that right now, and you began living that right now, that after death, then you're preparing this past life, then that, with that awareness, would be the life you would live.
That's right. That's where we're getting at.
Whew. Okay, good. Anybody else have any complaints or druthers about that? So, at death, then you do not pass on to a future life, Mr. Good Life, Mr. Superior Life, Mr. All Wisdom. You pass on to the past. Wait a minute. Pass on to the past life. In other words, you continue living the same old crap that you're thinking about today and struggling with today. Why don't we change the same old crap we're thinking and struggling with today so that when you pass on, you live this past life, which is entirely different. Not better, just merely different.
But if you went to a past life and lived it with the new knowledge and understandings, wouldn't that change this life?
If you, oh sure, you could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of, that's the,
I kind of hear what you're saying as, if I don't change it, then I'll have this forever and ever.
Ah.
But then you can get into a huge cycle of things constantly shifting.
But that recycling is the whole nature of the universe.
That's the dance.
Yeah.
Let's call it that. But then, wait a minute. I don't know whether I was going to get into something I was writing this afternoon or hold up on that. You know, here's your problem. If you understand anything that I'm kind of saying here, we have a habit of wanting to know the consequences of something before we get involved and say, okay, if I do this, that will occur. And we don't really want to get or step out into this until we kind of know the consequences. Universe doesn't do that. Your being in the universe says, make a frigging choice first. The privilege you have is choosing how you are willing to be and live eternally. That's a privileged being. It's an eternal being with that privilege in that regard. You make the choice of how you will, or declaration, excuse me, not a choice. You make the declaration of how you will be, and why do I say declaration instead of choice? Because you don't get to try it out first. You have to make the declaration, and then you get to live the life. But you have to declare how you are, you don't have to, but if you truly want to get out of this dilemma, declare how it is that you are willing to be and live eternally. And then everything makes sense. If you haven't made that declaration in that regard, then you're constantly trying things out. You're not really trying things out, but it seems that way. So you're trying things out, and what do you get when you're trying things out? You get a trying life. And in that, then, you're struggling with problems and difficulties and etc. You're trying to struggle with these to find out which is the good, better, best, and which choice you should make. you should have made the declaration in the beginning, because if you made the declaration of how you will be willing to be and live eternally, you don't have all the choices to put up with. You don't have all the tryings to try. You don't have all the sufferings to put up with. Does anybody understand that? I guess not. I guess we lost them, engineer.
I'm going to say I don't really understand that.
That's like four before, is it?
Yes, absolutely. It's 110%. Four before. Then, with you make the declaration of four before, then everything makes sense. If you haven't made the declaration, if you're trying to find out what the consequence is, wait a minute. That in four before, you are the consequence even before you live it. Oh, four before. Okay. If you haven't then made that choice, then nothing makes sense. We okay so far? You okay with that,
yes.
Simone?
Yes.
So, not having made that choice, and you're kind of living your eternal self and your personal self sort of in communion by default, not having made that choice, you struggle with this, that, right, wrong, good, better, best, whatever the case may be, hoping that you will experience something and then you'll say, I'll choose that. The problem is, once you experience something, your memories get in the way and you are afraid to choose that. So,
afraid to choose that?
Sure. Okay,
memory.
Your joy, happiness, bliss, wonderful
right.
things uh-huh. of doing their life in a certain way. Would you be willing to do that forever and ever and ever? Only bliss. Whatever.
But only bliss?
Yeah, I said, if you experience something, why, I induced bliss on me today. Would you keep doing that? No matter what you experience, you're afraid. You went through all of this to try to get their choices in a row, and then you're afraid to choose simply because the minute you look at it, do I want to do that forever?
Oh, I see. Right.
So the very thing, but you're afraid to say, well, wait a minute, how can I choose if I don't know what my choices are? But if you make the if you struggle to get the life in order to say, well, your choice is this life or that life or that life, you don't want to choose any of those lives forever. Hello, anybody? So,
yeah, I guess there's always thinking the future, something better could come along.
That's right. So the life, what the life is all about is you make that declaration as in four before, and then your life and everything will make sense, and you will never make another choice in your life. You won't get it an experience. Wait just a minute now. Do you understand what flows from experience is memories? And do you understand that memories are guardians of memory? And do you understand then that if you truly want to live in the past as an immortal to the greatest degree possible being, that you want to live by memory, not memories? How do you get through?
How is memories the guardian of the memory?
Because no matter what you do, in a process of thinking in reverse, you have to wade your way and struggle your way through memories. The memories get in the way of your knowing and understanding memory.
Yes.
In other words, you remember memories, but you must recall memory. In other words, you must get through memories of remembering things of that nature. You've got to get through your experiences, because experiences foist off memories, and the more experience you have in order to make a choice, the more experience you have, the more memories you have in the way.
Uh-huh.
How in the hell can you get your memories out of the way? You know, but there is something real weird about life in this regard, is that conundrum right there. I got to know what it is first, but I got to live it before I can know what it is. And the fact that your memories get in the way and block you from really fully understanding yourself, that dilemma can be ended at any time. It's like, wait a minute, it's kind of like being born again. You can start everything over again. Is it possible then that through suscitation you can be born again in such a way as you reconceptualize yourself and life and all of life in such a way that you begin, you can begin with a declaration and change everything? Wait a minute, you didn't change everything. Everything is, if you're still doing the same thing, it's transformed. It's the same stuff, but it's all different stuff. You haven't changed anything. So you can transform your life at any point in your life and begin understanding, just starting with some of the examples that I have given you as things to consider as practice for your suscitation, in such a way then you can experience or know or understand your eternal self in such a way that you can reconceptualize everything in your life. And once you do that, like for before, it isn't a matter of experiencing and choosing. It is declaring before you even experience or choose, knowing that in that it will accommodate your declaration. Well, okay, shall we move on? So, in all of this then, that I'm trying to get you, one of the next item was, living in the now deceives you, therefore, is it possible that the practice of all of this is, in a sense, practice seeing yourself and conceiving of yourself living already, right now, in and of the past. And the question is, are you willing to step out of the present, this big now, and into your eternal self? Are you willing to look at this moment as your past? If you can't look at this moment as your past, you can't understand what's going on. Could you...
It's like a hindsight 2020 thing?
What? Well, all right. Could you look at life as only that which has occurred and that which has not yet occurred?
What has occurred, I got. What has not yet occurred, I didn't quite get.
That's right. It hasn't occurred yet.
About like,
it hasn't occurred.
I mean, if,
If you understand that, if we divide life up into what has occurred and that which has not yet occurred, you can only live what has occurred. And what has occurred is always the past. Is that enough for everybody? You want to quit right there?
Sure.
Yep, sure.
Is that an empty space in between? Or is that fluent?
Where is there an empty space between what?
What has occurred, what has not occurred yet.
No. They're bump up against each other. There's no empty space in between.
No.
It either... In a sense, in terms of language sense, it exists. All things exist as to what has occurred, that which has not yet occurred. That's past and future. Take that present out of there. There is no space in there for present to exist. It either has occurred or it hasn't occurred, or hasn't yet occurred. So you can only fully live in that which has occurred. There's no other place to live. So you're always living in the past.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Next week we'll start with develop your memory and your self-awareness. That's memory, not memories. You see, what's happening is we create experiences, and we're constantly developing our memories. The more memories you develop, the more guardians you have to struggle through in order to get to memory. Okay, well, all right. We'll leave it there then. We'll leave it, that's enough said. Think about, especially the first one, what do you have to offer? No. What is your purpose in the life of everything that comes to you?
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yep.